Hey, born actually in Niagara Falls, 56, but moved to St. Catharines relatively early. We spent, I think, 18 months in Thorold, and then moved to St. Catharines probably when I was about two. Always wanted to get on skates, which I did by three or four, and then started playing hockey at four and five. Started off with the Vic Teal, St. Catharines Minor Hockey School. And from then on, just hockey kept bringing me back to the arena in one shape or another. Like I say, from the Garden City Minor Hockey Association, then playing through AAA, Novice, Pee Wee, Bantam. Junior, I left to go play in the US, but then when I came back and went to Brock, I played for Brock for a year, which of course at that time was in the Garden City Arena. They didn't use the Thorold rink. And then right up through to men's beer league teams and things like that. So I've been on that ice more times than I can remember, and on it when it wasn't ice because I played lacrosse a little. But also, my dad was one of the co-founders with Vic Teal and Ken Campbell for the original St. Catharines Summer Hockey School. I'd have been, I guess, 9, 10 at the time, and got to meet a lot of different players and things like that. And saw so many junior teams go through here and became friends with many of them, so especially through the hockey school. And
So our next question is, what is your earliest memory of the arena, if you can remember?
Probably 4 years old, five years old, I guess. It would be the hockey school where the rink was. I'm not sure what the length of the rink is. I think it's about 190 or 195. I know it's shorter than regulation, but they used to have these small wooden boards. They'd be maybe 12 inches, 18 inches, and they'd go together, and they put them across the blue lines so you could have more kids in each section of the rink. So they have the real small kids here, and then they'd move up type thing. And then as the kids got older, they took some of the boards down so they'd use more full surface ice. So they could use it as a half ice. They'd cut it into threes that way for the hockey school. So those are the earliest memories I have of the rink. Besides going with my parents, who are longtime season's ticket holders up in the Blues, to watch, I guess it would be teepee games for a while until they became the St. Catharines Blackhawks.
A little bit more about your minor hockey experiences.
Okay, Branch 24 Legion, which is I think was where this was from. We didn't have novice all-star teams at that time. I started with a peewee team. There was three of us that were really underage peewees. I think the age groups were 8, 9, 10. I'm not quite clear, but it was whatever the peewee age groups were. There were three of us that were underage: myself, Tim McDonald, Greg Craig. We played 3 years of peewee instead of just the 2 years, and then every year after that it was 2 years of Bantam. They didn't have minor Bantam, minor midget, major midget. You either made the all-star club or you went back to house league. So I was fortunate enough to play all-star, what we called all-star, which now is AAA hockey, peewee for 3 years, 2 years of Bantam, and 2 years midget. We did a lot of practicing, played a lot of there in the minor hockey school days. As we got into the AAA teams, the Rex Steimers Arena was eventually built. We played most of the games of the Rex Steimers. We didn't play as many until it got to playoffs or special games, but we would play some in Garden City Arena. Availability at that time, you have to remember there was no Hague Bowl. Well, Hague Bowl was an open arena at the time. It was open, so if there was no snow or ice or cold, you didn't play there. There was no Burgoyne Arena. I'm not sure if even Meriton was built at that time. So ice premium, even though there was less kids, was still at a premium. So we didn't get Garden City as much as we wanted. As soon as Rex Steimer was built, they moved pretty much all the hockey teams into Rex Steimers with games at Garden City Arena, especially in playoffs. They'd let us play there because there was more seating.
I know you mentioned the peewees and the teepees. Can you tell me what teams you played on and your experience?
Yeah, I didn't play with the teepees.
Oh.
That's a little before my time because the
Yeah,
teepees ended
sorry.
up becoming the Junior A Hawks. But like I say, junior or what they called little NHL, little Junior A were these eras when I'd be, I think, five till about eight until I played AAA hockey or my first year of peewee. And then it was peewee, bantam, and midget, 2 years of each of those. And then I was kind of off for a while. At least from St. Catharines, that I played a year in Buffalo, played Junior A for New York Penn Junior League at that time, and then went to Cornell for a year, then took some time off of hockey to come back and actually learn something at Brock. And I did play 1 year at Brock University, and that would have been 79, I think. Yes, 79 I played in Brock, and then 80 was Teachers College, and then men's teams after that, our French League team used to play there Sunday nights. We had four ice blocks when I was playing with French League, and one of them was a Sunday night slot from 9 till 10:30 at Garden City Arena. So I've seen it go through quite a few transformations, from just screen around the back to where they eventually changed and put in glass for the first time and glass down the sides. In fact, I remember that because it was at the hockey school and we were on the, like with the ice out, and there's a bunch of us kids. We'd have to put the puck on the side. We were too small to be able to lift it because we wanted to hear it hit the glass. It didn't do any good to throw at it. You wanted to shoot it, but we couldn't raise the puck like the bigger kids. So we'd put it on edge and backhand it into the glass and thought it was cool.
You just talked about it, but do you have like more, you can talk about the Brock Badgers and your experiences with that?
Brock Badgers team was funny. I get in late on that because I came to Brock in 77. I think that was the first year that I came back to Brock. I didn't play for 77 and 78, and I should have, because the first year that I would have played, they went on a Phoenix, Arizona trip. So I missed out on that, apparently a good Vegas trip. But at that time I had been down to the States on a scholarship and didn't work out. And I thought, no, I better take my studies more seriously. So when I came back, I went just to school for 2 years. And then the third year, I decided I'd finally play. Plus, the guy that coached, Dave Green, he was coaching with Lorne Adams. Lorne was the athletic director, or is the athletic director, unless he's retired. I'm not sure if he just retired recently. But Bob Davis was the AD at that time. And Lorne was coaching along with Dave Green. And my dad knew Dave Green from playing semi-pro. Dave Green played semi-pro. My dad and him were friends. And so I walked into Lorne's office, and he was sitting there and says, when are you playing hockey for? I says, I haven't played. I wasn't planning to. But he says, get some skates, get some stuff, and go out and play. So I couldn't turn him down. At Brock at that time, too, it was the first year they went into the OUAA. Which was good and bad. It was nice to have the recognition being the OUAA, but we got our butts kicked by a few of the good teams there. We'd play Guelph for McMaster, and it would be double-digit differences, and we'd get bombed. But we had a few good outings. U of T that year, we went up there. We only lost 8-4, and we were tied going in the third period with about 2 minutes left. Got a cheap penalty, and we lost 4-3 back at Garden City Arena, by the way, too. So we had some good games in with some of the weaker teams, but the strong teams just blew us right out of the water.
So I know you mentioned playing lacrosse, and there, were there any other things you did at the arena or events you saw? You could tell us about?
There were some wrestling shows back in the day. Again, my dad, who I can bring up later, because he's got a chapter that was dedicated to him by Dennis Hall in this book, but we can get to that later. He was friends with the original Sheik. I don't know if you'd remember him, not the Iron Sheik, but the original Sheik, who was supposed to be from Arabia. He was actually from Michigan. And him and my dad were good friends. My dad came from Sarnia area, and Sheik was in Michigan. So anyway, Sheik had an independent group, and he was in St. Catharines a couple of times. He was also at Thorold with the independent group. So they brought some wrestling shows to the St. Catharines. So I remember a few of them, and I go with a couple of friends, and my dad would drag us along and stuff. So they had wrestling shows. They've always had different, I think they've had car club shows and different craft shows, art shows, and things like that. Like I say, St. Catharines Summer Hockey School, we used the Rex Steimers Arena for the ice, but this was just down to the bare floor. But they would still do things like, face-off draws and still do teaching with groups in the arena, even though it wasn't iced in at the time. The ice never came in until later. The hockey school used to run a couple of weeks in August. It eventually got to 6 weeks. It ran the last 2 weeks of July and the month of August, but the ice never went in until after, I think about September the 1st or so was when it went in for the junior teams.
And what about ice skating? Did you ever watch?
Ice skating,
yeah.
Shows? No, I never went. Oh, concerts. Never went to ice skating shows, but did see a couple of concerts. One was the Rush to something, Rush to the Garden City or something tour. It had Bull Rush, which was a local area band. Rush, when they had John Kiersey, the first drummer, and they actually got booed. I thought they were pretty good, but they actually got booed. And the headliner at that time was somebody called Mahogany Rush, Frank Marino Mahogany Rush. He was from Montreal, guitar player. And he used to do really fabulous Jimi Hendrix and that. But yeah, Rush was in the middle billing, and they actually were getting booed. I'm like, this band's pretty good. I don't know what they're booing about.
Do you know what year that would have been?
Oh, gosh, I should know. I have Rush's first album, too. It's got to be in the 70s at some point, whenever they first, the first inception of Rush, because they played with Kersey for a while, and we actually went again and watched Kersey up in, we saw them again in Dundas Arena, just as they put out the Fly By Night album. And by that time, Neil Peart was playing with them. Kersey, I guess, had some health problems, and he couldn't go on the road, so Neil Peart took over. They had mined him as a drummer, which was the best move they ever did. And we saw him up there with them, but I actually saw him with John Kersey in the Rush to whatever it was called tour.
Out of hockey legends. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Favorite? Yeah, there's a lot of them that I've gotten to meet, gotten to know, and that my dad was very involved in hockey in the city. And we knew the junior players that went through, because a lot of them would hit us up for ice time, because Rexheimers had ice, so they'd go to my dad or to Vic Teal and see if they could get on after the hockey school guys were off. So we had like Rick Dudley that played junior here. Fred Stanfield was one of the main instructors. Doug Favell, who was a goalie, was one of the main instructors. So I knew them very well. They're good friends. And so was Dennis. And I saw Dennis again when he was at Brock. And he was I think he got his history degree, actually, from Brock University. So he'd come to our Brock games and things like that back in, that would have been 79. And him and my dad were good friends. I got pictures as a kid, which are on the drive and in here, with tons of the old Chicago players, because Chicago would have a short training camp here. So I've got pictures with Elmer Vasco, Pierre Palat, Bobby Hull. And so I've met all these guys. I wouldn't say I know them on a first name basis, but I could talk to Dennis today. In fact, if I see him again, I got to get him to autograph this book. It was a gift from my sister-in-law, but there was a chapter that actually tells a nice story about Garden City Arena. And it has, I think, what's the chapter called? Connecting with Dunk Schramm. That was my dad. And it talks about a story about how they first met when he was playing junior hockey. So he maintained friendships with some of those pro players over the years, or know them on a first name basis, but it was basically because of the hockey school.
I know you mentioned your dad a bit. Can you tell us more about him?
Yeah, he was in the city for a long time. He passed in 91. Always involved in sports and hockey, sometimes too much for my own good. But he and Vic Teal and Ken Campbell was had something to do with the Chicago Blackhawks at that time, whether it was scouting department or something. They came up with this plan to hatch the summer school hockey. Now, Vic had always had the St. Catharines minor hockey school one, the one that I had been involved in, but they, at that time, players were getting extra ice, plus they were opening up their own hockey schools at different places all over the provinces. And so they hatched a plan on starting a summer hockey school. So I remember they got together, they decided, they got Freddie Stanfield and Doug Favell, who would be the main instructors. There were always different instructors that dropped in. Ray Cullen was one. He played with Minnesota and a few other places. And I remember sitting at our house where I lived in Rundell, and my mom was doing all the mails. We had no email. There was no computers at that time. So these mails would be sent out and whatever, and sign up things and get a hold of us. They would send them out applications. And so there's my mom sitting at a dining room table. It was just full of paperwork. You think your office was full of paperwork. It just was, you know, checks for the week or 2 weeks if the kids wanted to, what age they were. So they had to divide them all up into those age groups. And then they'd show up at the arena for the registration on the first day. And then they divide them up into groups, because you'd have some kids that were, you know, decent hockey players wanting to get a head start on the ice time. And then you had some that were very first time going to play hockey. Funny story on that. I don't know if you wanted to hear that one. My mom's at the table, of course, getting all the people registered. And we had parents from all over the place, and we started getting some from Western New York area, and then even one from Michigan. The one from Michigan or something came in one time, and this kid comes out of the dressing room with his dad there, goes to the table and says, "Not sure how this fits," and he hit the kid's jock, strapped up around his helmet on his nose, thought it was some sort of nose guard. My mom's, maybe you want to talk to one of the instructors. Of course, Favell and Stanfield are there, and my dad was telling me this story. He says, they are laughing, and they're like, no, we're not talking. Just basically hanging my mom out to dry with this kid and his parent, like, trying to say, well, here's what it's actually for. So anyway, so that was the one funny story from that one.
So this is an amazing collection that you have here. Can you tell us about it, like your favorite?
They're all, because my mom was such a pack rat, she kept everything for, you know, from pictures to articles. I still got things from when I was at Prince Philip School, and you'd be track and field. She kept the thing of all my ribbons, and I still have them in my old report cards and stuff. She would keep them in manila envelopes. She passed in 98, and my sister stayed at the house on Rondell. That's where I grew up. Well, we started on L Street, moved to Rondell in 63. And she turned all this stuff over to me a bunch of years ago, saying, oh, this is all stuff that Mom had kept. It was in a box, and I, you know, went through all this boxes. I said, oh, my goodness, look at this picture. Look at this. Oh, this article. Like I said, articles and everything from games and tournament programs, from Silver Stick tournaments in Burlington and Port Huron and everything else. And so it was just a collection of things that I didn't know what to do with. I started scanning a bunch because I thought, well, I want to keep it digitized. Who knows, you have a flood, and then what do you do if these things get ruined? So I started scanning them, keeping them in folders on a computer and on flash drives and those things. And I always kept the original pictures, though, wherever I could find them. So it was just over the years, different teams I played on, even starting out before. Yeah, my son gives me grief for this one. He says, you're a Leaf, too. So they're just all over the place. There's like one of our old tight teams, and these are all on there, by the way, and Bantam teams. There's a Fred Stanfield and Dennis Hull picture, which they're out there as well. Old Berenstain. The reason I kept these or brought these in and kept them is you can just see the old screen behind the arena. So it was just more or less to show you what actually looked like. I remember in the junior days, guys would actually go in and they used to face wash guys against that. And the guy come out all bloody and stuff. So different game back then. That's one with Fred Stanfield there. But that was from the hockey school. So that would have been posing at Rexheimer's. That wouldn't have been at Garden City. But all these pictures, these old team pictures, that's a corner store Bantam. That would be Bantam age, Bell Canada Pee Wee age. They're all taken right at Garden City Arena because just massive numbers of them. A lot of them are duplicates. This was from an old standard. That's Greg. I told you, Greg Craig, Tim McDonald, and I were the first, the three kids that were, we played 3 years of Pee Wee while the kids above us, there was an age group above us, an age group above that, until they divided up and then had a novice. Well, actually, now they've Adam novice, Pee Wee, and that. So that was a standard picture because one of the ideas my dad had, we were all, him and I were both big Hawk fans, Blackhawk fans, and because of the ties of St. Catharines with Chicago. So he says, well, first thing we're going to do for our tight team, so we're tight age here, this was in 62, I believe. He says, we're going to get Blackhawk uniforms. So we did get the uniforms. He sponsored us at the time. He's worked in real estate and insurance. I think this was an insurance sponsor at the time. We had it on a bar on the back. And so we had us pose with Freddie Stanfield for this pick on that one. And that was an old standard pick. So that's an old Brock pick. That's, I think, the 79 team, if I'm right. There's a few of us. Yeah, there's a few of us, and mostly it's holdovers from the teepee years, so it's all older people, you know. The teepees were really big here when I was just a baby at that time because they were winning the championships in 57, 58, so I don't remember the teepees too much. But then they turned over to the St. Catharines Junior Blackhawks And a lot of the Blackhawks came through the junior system. Freddie Stanfield, for example. Dennis Hall came through here. Doug Jarrett. Doug Jarrett was another one that worked at the school too. Him and him and Dennis Hall were great friends. And so I got to meet a lot of these players and things like that. And so there's a lot of still people that would have been, had that connection to the old Hawks, even up to the Marcel Dion. That was getting near the end of the St. Catharines Blackhawk. Then they became the Fin Cups or something like that for a while. But the Blackhawks went up right through the Dion years. And so there's still some holdovers, but there's still also an awful lot of Leaf fans only because of the proximity to Toronto. But I always hated them because they always beat out Chicago. Them or Montreal were always beating out Chicago, so they're most despised teams in my mind. But I've had some revenge because the last like 10, 13, and 15, the Hawks are back. So they're not very good right now. So that's, oh, that's the Pierre Pilote. I'm not sure this goes. Just because it just shows you some of the things my mom kept. And it has some old pictures, but of course they're old standard pictures. And they're black and whites. But they show you the arena back then when they were taking some action. And you're, look at the old nets. They wouldn't even give us a good Ars Rock. Ross Nets, use those old things. So there were some old pics of the arena, and then actually some of these I have the colorized versions. Like I say, I dig through something else that my mom had had, and so I found the colorized versions instead of some of these old ones. But with the whole years that we ran the Garden City the St. Catharines Summer Hockey School, I have nothing from that. I don't have any brochures. There used to be brochures they put out in that. But my mom never kept them. Of course, I'm a kid. I would have never kept anything like that. But she kept everything else, but never that stuff. So I haven't run across them at all. But I'm not sure the years. It ran for a good dozen or so years. And I got that. I wasn't an instructor, but they had me, as I got older, doing film room. Like, they just show a film or movie or something like that. So they had me work the projector. Skeeter Teal, that was Vic's son, too. He played one game. He had a cup of coffee with the Islanders, played a lot of semi-pro, but he's still in the area, and he worked at the school too. So
I'm like getting back to the arena. I know you mentioned your love-hate relationship with it. Was that like a common sentiment?
Well, it's funny when you're a kid, because the Hawks played on it, because the Blackhawks would play maybe an exhibition game or so, like the Chicago, the big team, would play an exhibition on it. As kids, we were mesmerized by it. We thought, to just play at Garden City Arena. Every time we step on the ice, you thought for us as kids, it would be the next best thing to be at Maple Leaf Gardens or the Chicago Stadium. So it was great. But then as we got older and bigger, I remember playing at Brock. He said, why are we playing in this little barn? I says, we're going to all these places at 200 by 85. And St. Catharines, I don't know if it's just been behind the times, but we haven't had a 285 by or 200 by 85 rink until they built the new arena. Thorold was built, but in its regulation size, but it was built before St. Catharines ever had a full size. Now, mind you, Rankin did a great job with the new Meridian Center. It's a beautiful place. But we never had that size rink. But we'd go to all these other places as we got older with Brock or even in Pee Wee and that and say, why are we, look at the size of this rink. This is monstrous. And we're playing in this little old barn that was built in 1938. And it's funny how TV does things to you, because we used to watch the St. Catharines Blackhawks play the Junior Red Wings out of Hamilton, and they played at the old Barton Street barn, and we thought, oh my gosh, we're gonna play at the barn. We're gonna play it. Well, we didn't know it was called the barn. We thought it was gonna be at the Hamilton Forum. We thought this was great. We walked into that place, and it was worse than Garden City Arena. It was a total dump. And it's like, well, sometimes things fool you. But yeah, as a kid, you thought you were on hallowed ice here. But then as you got older, you just, man, this place needs to kind of get up with the times. They did a lot of renovations and things to try and improve it, but it just it finally had seen enough of its day, and that's why they built the new rink. And so it's kind of mixed feelings that you see it's going to get torn down, but you understand why. I don't know, I always thought they could use an ice pad for anything, because there's always kids in that wanting ice, but I guess they've got enough other places now between all the other arenas, so I guess it's finally seen its last days. The old, I don't know if you have pictures, I know I don't, but when they first started flooding the ice, you remember how they used to do that, right? No? Oh, they didn't have Zambonis. They used to have what they called rink rats. That was something you aspired to if you were a kid. And we were playing Tyke, and that was, we'd watch the rink rats. I said to my dad, I said, I want to be a rink rat someday. He says, yeah, maybe. I guess they were just kids that hung around the arena, but they would go out and they had these shovels that would be double wide with handles on it. And this was between the periods, junior A games, I guess going back to teepees then. They'd have a bunch of them. They'd go down and they'd have the next group right in behind them. So they'd get about three swaths. They'd have all that. And guys would come out with the old, and to flood the ice, it was basically 45-gallon drums that were turned sideways. You can actually find them on line, old pictures of them. So the drums would be turned sideways on a cart, and they had the wide thing with the mat for the flooding. They just turned the spigot on, it would pour into that, and then the guy would cart it around. It used to take like half an hour to flood the ice between periods back then. Now you do it in about 10 minutes. But yeah, they'd have two guys out with those, and the rink rats would get the shovels and shovel the ice off, and that's how they used to flood the rink. So those are memories too.
You mentioned like the Blackhawks practice at the arena. Did they ever play a game, or did you ever see
the Chicago Blackhawks? Yeah, the Chicago Blackhawks used to come in for about a week, I think, just for a quick training camp and stuff. Generally, it was prospects, I guess, that would come in, but they'd always have one day or two where, you know, the big guys like Bobby Hull come in. They'd do autograph sessions, things like that, and pictures. That's where I got a couple of pictures and whatnot. And you can look through all these if you wish. I've seen them. But, yeah, they would sometimes play, I think, controlled scrimmage. I don't think they had any games. Now, I do remember a game that took place. It was Hartford against, and I can't remember who they played, but it was an actual exhibition game. And they've had a number of old-timers games where they brought back old NHL players to play against local firefighters, police, and things like that. But the Hartford game is the only NHL game I remember, unless the Sabres maybe had one too. I can't remember. They may have had one back in the day. And of course, there was the year or two that the Saints played. That was the AHL affiliate for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Rocky Saginaw, who I played ball with, he was on that team. Bruce Boudreau played on that team. Yeah, lots of different teams and lots of different things went through the arena, that's for sure. They had a circus here at one time, too. I forgot about that. Yeah. I remember going up to see that at a circus one day.
You saw the circus?
Yeah, no, they're not very popular now, but when, back in the day, that was a big trip for the parents to take the kids. And I remember going with a neighbor and his dad and stuff. My dad dragged us off through the circus, and they had everything there, elephants and whatever, but I don't... I was pretty young because I don't remember all the details, but I do remember they had a circus here at that time. It wasn't a very big one. It wasn't like Barnum & Bailey or anything, but they had animals.
Can you tell us about that if you remember?
Of?
The circus.
Just remember that they had animals, and they were in cages and probably got scared coming too close to a lion or tiger cage or something at one time. That's about all I can remember. I don't actually remember seeing any of the act or... like a ringleader in the middle of that. I just remember seeing the animals, and of course, you know, you wouldn't do it now, but they'd be in cages about the size of this table, and it wasn't really fair to them in that, but they, that's what they called a circus back then.
I know I talked about this like a lot, but have you been to the arena recently, and how do you think it changed or in the past few years?
I'm trying to think the last time that I went to some. Well, I think the last time that I was in the arena is when the Ice Dogs were still playing until they got over to the new Meridian Center. So we still go up and watch the Ice Dogs games. And that's the last I remember. And all I could think of was, you know, how much bigger, stronger, faster the players are, because, man, they cover a lot of this. I mean, it was a smaller ice surface. Like, they weren't, I still don't remember what Garden City was, maybe 190 by 80. And these guys just cover so much ice so fast. Like, they couldn't play in that place. You put 10 guys in one end zone, it was it's like they were in a phone booth. And how they got shot. There was no real plays made. It was just shoot on net and then crash the net and try and score, because the ice was just too small for them. They had moved the blue line so that they still had 60 feet from blue line to end zones. But, man, they took up a lot of space, and they got out of one end and to the other end so fast. And now they're in the bigger rink. I mean, they still cover a lot of ice real fast. They're a lot more talented than we were when we were kids. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they train more. But, yeah, like I even I went to a Brock game a bunch of years ago. I looked at it and says, "Wow, I'm glad I'm not trying to make that team now." But maybe if you'd grown up with that kind of training and that kind of equipment and what have you. I mean, I went through all the different training equipment too. We started out with these things, those old tube skates, the old metal tube skates. And by the time I finished playing, there were skates that were as light as my slippers, for crying out loud. So, and sticks, forget it. I mean, you can see some of the battle axes we used to use, or even some of the ones that the players used, and now they're all carbon fiber $300 sticks that you just snap the shot and it'll go through a wall. So yeah, things change, and like I say, the arenas have changed and gotten bigger. They've gotten better, more computerized with the ice conditions. And that Garden City was one of those ones that was very temperamental on ice. If it got into the springtime when you'd play, you'd be playing on soup there. By about 10 minutes into the period, your legs felt like they were falling off because the ice was so slow. It was better when they had the Saints, because the Saints used to have ice makers that would come down and monitor it. But yeah, it was one of those things that, you know, you didn't notice as a kid. As a kid, you'd skate on anything. We'd skate on Martindale Pond or the canal, for crying out loud. But as you got older, it was like, man, this ice is just so slow and terrible. But they didn't have the things to monitor, you know, per square inch of the ice and what have you, like they do nowadays.
You mentioned the Ice Dogs. So St. Catharines did not have a team for a few years.
For a long time.
So,
yeah.
So what was it like? Was everybody really excited?
It's funny. Like, I back to when we had the junior A teams, back when I remember being in those blue seats at the one end, and it was standing room only. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if fire marshals, I don't even think they cared. It was just like they'd have 4,000 packed into that old barn, and they'd be three deep in the standing room sections. And it was just packed for every game. And then after the Dion years, I think they even lost the team for a couple of years and got the Finn Cups back after they left Hamilton. But for some reason, it didn't draw. And it just, the attendance petered out. There wasn't as much demand for it. And then they didn't have a team for years and years and years. And a lot of that was due to the fact that they didn't have a rink that would suit a good junior A team in this day and age. I mean, you think back, or you look at even Kitchener, these places like Kitchener's Memorial Arena is still the old arena, but they have really refurbished it. It almost looks like a new state-of-the-art building. But that was just too small. The dressing rooms were just tiny. I remember when the pro teams would come in, they'd take up two dressing rooms in Rex Steimer's to go over into where the Zamboni used to go through, because you couldn't fit a team into one dressing room back then. So I think that was one of the reasons that they lost the teams, was because the equipment and the rink itself, and then whatever, the people just stopped going to the games. And then when the Ice Dogs came back, it made a resurgence. And I think they're popular. Maybe not as popular, although being at a couple of the playoff games that they had a few years ago when they're in the playoffs, they packed the building pretty good. And it's great entertainment. I mean, my goodness, the players are just fabulous. And they've had a lot of them go through now that are in the NHL, Petrangelo probably being the most famous. But, I mean, there's a ton of them in there right now. And it's great hockey. But, actually, I think Petro played when it was at the Garden City Arena, too, until they had the new one built. But to see guys that size on the Garden City Arena, it's like, you're too big for this. It's like, you know, go play in the baby's playpen and whatever. Yeah, it was just different time. Because I don't remember the players on the ice looking out of place back when we'd watch them at junior age or the old junior Hawks. They were faster, of course, bigger and that and stronger, but it didn't look like the ice was too small for them. But as players got bigger, faster, stronger, it just looked like they ran out of space.
So can you tell me your favorite memory at the arena?
Wow, yeah, that's a tough one, because there was a lot of them. I remember, like, St. Catharines summer hockey school days as a kid. I remember, like, with the pictures I got with Bobby Hull, and that was like, he was my idol, for crying out loud. And meeting players like Bobby Orr, who came in, was friends with Freddie Stanfield, because Freddie Stanfield, who came up through the Hawks, was traded to Boston, and Esposito Hodge for Joe Marat and somebody else trade at the time. So Bobby would come up and see Fred, and they'd go, you know, after the hockey school and stuff, but they'd try and sneak him in because he'd just get inundated with people wanting autographs and things like that. But he was such a nice man to meet. But just meeting the different players and growing up watching these guys, and then it was just, it's hard to describe and know that they were playing the NHL and you'd met them and seen them and had pictures with them, I guess would be as exciting as anything. Games, I can't recall any particular single games or anything like that. Watching junior games, that there's different things that you remember, different players, different plays and things like that, and some of the characters that went through. But I think just the memories of going to the hockey school, even the old hockey school with the Vic Teal years, that we'd get a bunch of us kids and we'd race around the top because they had that walkway that went around. So we'd play hide and seek and race each other around, just hanging around the rink. It was fun. As a kid, it was as good a place to be as any. I guess it kept it out of trouble. So
I know you talked about a lot about, as a kid growing up in St. Catharines, how you went to a bunch of junior A OHL games. Did you watch any junior B games growing up?
I went to a couple of junior B games. Yeah, I never played junior B in St. Catharines of all the things, because I went to the year after I played the midget, I ended up going over to Buffalo to play for a year. That had more to do with just a home situation with my parents and stuff splitting up. My dad was over there, and there was New York Penn Junior League that started up, so I played over there for a year, but never played junior B here. I know a lot of guys that did and played with and against a lot of guys. A lot of the guys that I grew up playing with and that played over here. The junior B team used to have, when Brian Bellows was playing with the junior B team, their practice time was right before our Brock time back in 79. They'd have the ice from, I think, 5 till 6 or something like that. Maybe a little earlier, 4 till 5, and we had the hour or so right after it. So I remember seeing them out practicing and things like that. Been to a few B games, but no, I didn't go to a lot of different junior B games.
For the when you played for Brock in the 79-80 season, can you explain how the league worked? Because when you played like your first season, it was the first like one division format.
Right.
Because the previous seasons it was like Central. So can you explain like how the team was, or what your, I don't know how I'm supposed to word this, but your perception was, because it went from the different to one division.
Yeah, they used to play against RCM, whatever the Royal Military College was, and they had a bunch of different schools Brock played with against the years before that, a lot of exhibition group games, and they were in some sort of league. I'm not sure what it was because I didn't play with them, but the year that I played with them or started played 1 year. Yeah, OUAA Division I, so we played UAT, York, generally home and away games. We were a budget team. We didn't have a lot of money at that time for Brock. I don't know if they still do, but or if they ever did. But I remember we'd use old school buses to go on our trips. So if we played West, like we'd play Western one night and then Windsor the next night. So there's only be one stayover. Or we'd go to Laurentian for a back-to-back up there instead of Laurentian coming down here and doing back-to-back. So they didn't want to have the travel costs of going back and forth to Sudbury for their home and away. So for some of those long games, you'd play two games at their barn, or they'd play two down here. That way you're only out overnight for one night. But anything else like Guelph, UAT, York, whoever else was in this, Laurier and all the kitchen area teams, you would play one there, one at home. So, and Mac, of course, which we hated. Mac just beat the crap out of us. Yeah. That was no fun being a defenseman. I was like 5'11 or 6 foot at the time, and they had this one guy who was like Chara. He was about 6'9 and weighed about 220. He'd just stand in front of the net and do what he wanted to do. Come in, Lorne, you got to move that guy out of there. I said to Lorne, he says, okay, then tie a chain to the Zamboni and I'll help you move him because I can't get him out of there, so I don't know what you want me to do.
What do you remember about like the home games, like the atmosphere?
It was fun, you know, like we didn't fill the stands by any stretch, but the people that came out used to have a good time. I think some of them were, at that time, were getting in a few power puffs of their own and things like that. And this was back before marijuana was a lot more acceptable, but you could smell it going through the rink and that. But they seemed to enjoy it, whether they were just there to cheer with us, against us, for us, or just have a laugh at us, I don't know, but we'd probably put a couple of hundred or so into the stands for most of the home games, and a lot of them would be the repeats, and there'd always be professors and stuff would do the customary come through come and watch type thing. If we had a big team there like U of T or somebody like that, or Western, who were pretty good powerhouses at that time, Guelph was another one, the Griffins, there'd be more people. I don't know if it was then bringing them down by busloads, but we'd have more of a crowd for that. But it wasn't crowds per se that you'd think that were staggering by any stretch of the imagination, but they seem to have a good time going to the games.
Can you like describe the difference between like the fans at your home games in comparison to like the away games you played in? Like how many fans were in attendance do you think?
Again, that depended. Went to Ryerson, they didn't have hardly any fans at all. They had a building they played out of, had just, it looked like a couple of bleachers on the side. Then you'd play UAT at the varsity arena. They'd have a few for in for us. Of course, they'd have more people in if they were playing against one of their rivals like York or Well for that, but they'd have more fans than we would. I think when we play some of those big teams, they'd just be laughing at us. Oh, yeah, these guys are in town. This is going to be a scorer's delight for their team, of course. But it was growing pains. I mean, it was nice to be in the OUAA, and it was a step up. And we held our own. I don't think we didn't finish in last. I mean, we were probably fourth from the bottom. But it was like all those teams. There was no divisions as they set them up, per se. It was just mostly the Ontario schools. Until Carlton and then played Ottawa and McGill and all that. They were in a different division.
While playing for the Badgers, did you believe the Garden City Arena gave you like any sort of like advantage while playing at home?
You would think, because it'd be smaller, and if we had a competitive team, it might have been, because I know the junior teams and the guys would say it was an advantage because they'd know how the bounces went. In fact, you're playing in a smaller rink. Some of the plays that teams would use on a bigger rink wouldn't work. With us, it didn't matter. We weren't that good. So teams would adjust and beat us just as easily as they would have on a bigger surface, maybe even more if it's bigger. But, yeah, I don't know if we had an advantage, only because the team was not as competitive as it could have been. But it could be an advantage playing in that arena at the time. I know the junior teams, even the Saints, used to say, you know, people had to get used to playing in the small barn and not as good ice as some places either.
Are there any, like, sort of fond memories or greatest memories that you sort of remember, like, as a Badger that you want to talk about?
Gee, I don't know. It was a good time. I mean, we knew what we were. We weren't going to destroy anybody, but we'd go on different trips, play at different places, and it was fun. You know, we'd have laughs and kibitz on the bus and whatever and have a good time. We all had each other's backs as best we could. Don't remember anybody getting it into a dust-up that people weren't in there helping out, no matter who you were going up against, although if it was the MAC team, they didn't have to fight us because they just destroyed us on the ice. But, you know, guys would jump in. Like, it wasn't like, yeah, what's the sense of fighting because we're not that good. I mean, guys would back each other up, and it was a pretty good squad of guys. I still talk to a couple of them, see them every now and then, so.
In your opinion,
actually, sorry about that. I do have one good memory you would like. Dennis Hull, who I told you was going through Brock at the time to get his degree. He ended up teaching at Ridley after. He'd come out and skate with us once in a while. So I remember on just the warm-up laps, you know, when guys would just be getting dressed and getting out there, he'd skate around, you'd have the empty nets, so guys would be firing pucks at it. So Dennis is out, and you could tell that, okay, yeah, we're not in that league, because this guy had played Team Canada, and he was fabulous and could shoot. I think he shot even harder than Bobby. So I'm skating around with Joey Bimont, who's our goalie at the time. We're sitting there chatting. Dennis comes out, and he's just taking laps around the rink, and we're listening. He says, just listen to him skate. Don't even have to watch him. You could just hear him carving the ice. Like, we can't do that. Like, this guy could just carve ice and take off at a shot. And, I mean, he'd been retired for I don't know how many years. So he picks up a puck, just comes over the one blue line, like the blue line on this end of the rink, winds up and lets one go. And honest to God, this thing looked like a bullet pill right off his stick. You saw the puck like this, it disappeared. And the next thing you saw was his net go, pew! And these were old practice nets. He stretched the netting out. It flew back to center, and Bimont skated with me, stopped talking. He says, if he thinks I'm going in the effing net and he's going to shoot like that, he's got another thing coming. Dennis heard me and says, don't worry, kid, I'm not going to fire at you. But it was just like, you know, you knew what league you were in and what league those guys were in. It was like, yeah, we're a few steps away from that group.
Do you think there are any like differences or similarities between the Brock Badgers and like Junior B Falcons, considering that you guys played in the same room as well?
Yeah, it'd be interesting because the good OUAA teams now would beat the Junior B teams for without a doubt. Although when we played, it would have been a good game us against the Falcons because we had some guys that had played some B in that, but it would have been a good game. And now I think the university teams at the OUAA level have just grown and gotten better. There's a lot of good B teams too, though, and a lot of those guys make the step from B to play university. In fact, back then you couldn't play Junior A and then play university. I remember as midgets, they used to let us go out or let players go out and skate with the junior team for practices if you weren't playing that night, whether you were coming back off injury or just an extra player in that. I didn't go out because at the time I was thinking about an NCAA scholarship. And even the thought of stepping on the ice with a junior team, it was kind of iffy whether, you know, that would get you into trouble or anything like that. So I never did go out and skate with them. But a couple of our players did. And they'd come back and we'd ask them, what was it like? He says, yeah, they're fast, they're big, they're strong. And this is back in that day too. So nothing much changes. But I think the OUAA teams now, and I'm sure the Brock teams, they could handle B teams pretty easily.
You brought up previously how the Finn Cups were the last Junior A team until the Ice Dogs, but do you remember, like, if the St. Catharines Falcons, the Junior B team, became more popular after the Finn Cups left?
I think the Falcons have always had a strong following. They're always in the playoffs, and they've always won championships, Golden Horseshoe Championships. So I know they'd play on Friday nights, and especially around that place where there's no parking. Like, it would be just cars everywhere. So I think they drew better than a lot of the A games of the Finn Cups, at least back in that time, because they were always competitive. They were just always at the top of the heap. And then they'd move out of the division. They'd win the Golden Horseshoe. Then they'd play somebody like Stratford or some of those teams, or what's the other one, the Cullingtons or something. And those games would be just standing room only. Now, I never went to any of the B games back then, but I just remember you drive by the arena, it's like, what's, oh yeah, it's a Friday night, it's a B game, it's a playoff game. Even the non-playoff games, they'd pack the place up pretty good. They were a pretty popular draw, Falcons. Always have been.
After your season of finish, it's either the season after you finish or the year after, the Brock Badgers would move away from the Garden City Arena to the Thorold.
Then they moved to Thorold, yeah.
How'd you feel about
that? Well, considering the team that we had, I'm probably happier we played in the old barn, because some of those fast teams would have just really destroyed us on that bigger surface. But yeah, I think we just adapted. The Garden City Arena was our home. I guess it felt like that for Brock when they moved up to the Thorold rink. But I don't know how they drew and stuff up there, if they were any better or worse for the wear. But it's funny. I played my whole minor league career, even up to men's league and stuff, without playing on a 200x85 rink, you know, until we got to playing against teams that had that. And then they felt like monsters.
Those are all my questions for you. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
No, I was just going to say on this, there's a good story. I won't read it, but it's how my dad, and there it was there. It's very short. But it starts in about, it just talks about where he met, but how this little piece in here. And I'll just, you know, a quick précis on it was back in the day for the Hawks games. Of course, like I said, they'd be standing room only four deep. And they had no smoking signs up in the two corners, because you couldn't smoke in the arena area, concourse area. But you were allowed to smoke down. Now, this is back in the day, of course. People would go down into the lobbies to smoke. Well, it was like you'd need a knife to cut through there if you went down to one of the concessions, because everybody left the arena area to go down there to smoke. The Queensway, which is right out behind it, it's now apartments, used to be a bar. And so a lot of the people say, well, because I told you it took so long to flood the ice with two guys with a pail, they'd go over there for, you know, four or five beers or whatever and then come back to the game. So anyway, the story, and it's true, is they'd be coming back and falling in late because they'd want to finish their last beer. So my dad's coming across the street at the Queensway, Dennis Hull, who had a shot that you couldn't believe, I told you that, or he alluded to that with the Brock story, he let one go. It went off the crossbar in the period that they'd started, must have been the second, went up over the screen. If it had hit somebody in the stands, because it's screen, they didn't have netting. They just had the screen that was maybe 8 feet, 10 feet above the ice. If it had hit somebody in the stands, it would have killed them. Went out over everybody's head, went through one of the windows at the back, went out into the street and hit my dad in the head. Well, I'd lost enough juice by that time that it didn't kill him. But here he's walking back from having a beer with a few guys at the Queensway. He's holding his handkerchief on his head. Dennis's shot had hit him. So he goes to see him after that. And they've been friends ever since, and as Dennis said, but he'd gotten to meet him a few more times after that and stuff. But yeah, that was a pretty good story.
I had a question about the Queenston Hotel because it's come up in our discussions. Do you remember when the Garden City Arena became licensed?
I don't remember that. No, it must have been, it wouldn't have been during the Dion years or even the Dale McCourt Fin Cup years. This had to be much later, maybe in the Saints, when the Saints were here. And I can't remember what the years those were, but maybe at that time it had gotten licensed. I can't remember, but yeah, it was quite a long ways into its lifespan. So like I say, everybody used to go back, they'd run over there, and I guess they did during B games too, as when the Queensway, you just go in the back door, it'd be jammed for, you know, in between periods. And my dad would say, so you go back there, they just had the beers lined up. You just pay and take your three, take your four, whatever, to the table. Some then the tables would fill up, so everybody would just be standing there having their beers. And at that time, when they had the smoking anywhere type thing, people would be smoking in there. He says, then you come back into the game and then back up into your seats. And, you know, I says, well, what about by the end of the day? He says, yeah, there's a few people probably shouldn't have been driving and drinking, but yeah, that's the way things were back then, I guess.